appears to have been accomplished, so you may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. My name is Todd Lancaster. I represent Rodrigo Ortega. He's charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of a firearm by a felon, assault on an officer. He was found guilty on the lesser charge on the assault, and on the other two charges found guilty. Received a sentence of 71 to 100 years. There are a lot of issues in this case that I've addressed in my brief. I'm just going to focus on, I guess, the search as it applies through Gant versus Arizona. Before Gant versus Arizona, if the police officers arrested somebody, they could then search the vehicle for officer safety. After Gant versus Arizona, the Supreme Court said if somebody's secured, doesn't have access to the passenger compartment, that vehicle can't be searched unless there's some probable cause, believe there's evidence of the crime he's arrested for in that vehicle, or some other exception allowed the search. In this case, Mr. Ortega was arrested for driving under suspension. After he got out of the car, there was a scuffle. The video in this case is from the police cruiser. I think that's Exhibit 8, and it shows after he's detained, law enforcement officers are going in the car, in and out, taking pictures, walking around, opening the trunk, looking in the trunk, moving things around. Other officers from Iowa come over. It looks like they're doing just a general investigative search. In fact, Officer Grace testified he was looking for guns and contraband when he was in there looking around. After the suppression hearing, the state said, well, this is a inventory search, or this is a search that's part of the automobile exception. Clearly, what this was an investigative search, the search instant to arrest, just like happened before Gant versus Arizona, and they're trying to say this is now an inventory search.
Well, where was the defendant when this conversation in Spanish occurred, like something that, give me a gun now and I will use it?
That statement was made after Mr. Ortega was tased, partially cuffed. He got up, was being pulled, pulling the officer around, and then he yells out some statement in Spanish.
Well, would that statement support an attempted assault arrest for Ortega, which would then make it a search incident to arrest?
He was, after that statement's made and he's detained, he's in the cruiser, handcuffed. There would be no evidence you would find of the assault that occurred outside the vehicle or the resisting arrest outside the vehicle. Now, assault on an officer, for example, if he's saying, bring me this something and I'm going to use it, making a threat with that. Generally, an assault on a civilian, that could be a menacing threat. The elements of assault on an officer do not include portions of menacing threat. It's just that you intentionally knowingly cause personal injury to the officer. It doesn't have that second part of a menacing threat. So him saying, bring that gun, I might use it, that could be considered a menacing threat. That's not part of the elements of assault on an officer. So there would not find any evidence of the assault on an officer inside the vehicle as the actual assault, the running back and forth, trying to swing and kick, happened all outside of the vehicle.
But if you have it's in the vehicle. If the charge that stems from that is attempted assault, the attempt would encompass any substantial step, which it strikes me could include the vehicle. What's the flaw in that?
Assault, or even an attempted assault, all happened outside the vehicle. He is pulled out of the vehicle, tased, falls to the ground, gets up, and the scuffle occurs. It's all outside the vehicle.
But the words that were used in Spanish, that if it means bring me the gun, the gun clearly is in the car, correct? So why isn't the car now, under an attempted assault charge, part of the locus of the crime?
Saying, bring me something that's in the vehicle and I'll use it would be, I think, a menacing threat. If I said that to you, I'm going to get my gun and shoot you, that's a menacing threat. That's clearly part of third-degree assault, the general statute. It's not part of assault on an officer.
How about attempted assault on an officer?
Excuse me, go ahead, Judge.
I'm sorry, Judge.
How about attempted assault on an officer?
Even with it as an attempted assault on the officer, the underlying charge of assault on an officer does not include making a menacing threat to them.
Well, let's just forget about the attempted assault. What about a menacing threat? Would that justify it?
So if I understand,
we agree with you. It's not an attempted assault. It's a menacing threat.
So if it was saying the crime they believe they're going to find something in the car is a menacing threat, not an assault on an officer.
Yeah,
the menacing threat still would happen outside of the vehicle. There's nothing about the yelling or saying I'm going to do something that would be found inside the vehicle. Whether there's a gun there or not, the threat is actually the words that are coming out.
Where was the other individual that was with Ortega? Was he also in the police vehicle at the time that...
At the time of the stop, he was in the vehicle. After Mr. Ortega is pulled out of the vehicle and this scuffle occurs, Devin says he gets out of the vehicle. A third officer appears and says something to them, and he goes back around the vehicle, I think gets on his knees.
There's no one in the vehicle.
There's no one in the vehicle. After he gets out of the vehicle, the second the passenger gets out, there's nobody else in the vehicle.
I'm not even sure if this is a question, but when this scuffle is going on, but this is before charges are formalized, what's the framework for the officers at that point, since they are not necessarily... facts are unfolding, and they don't know precisely, perhaps, what charge is emerging.
We know that the charge they're arresting him for is driving under suspension. They knew he was suspended prior to the stop. The officer walks up to the vehicle, recognizes
that,
him.
That part is not in dispute.
That's not in dispute.
This subsequent, I'll call it scuffle, these facts are emerging, so what the... There's a new, quote, crime emerging, and that's part of your discussion because of what subsequently gets charged.
The new crime that emerges after the arrest of driving under suspension, which happens all outside the vehicle.
And what are the officers expected to know as the facts unfold to behave according to the constitutional requirements?
Well, that scuffle is all done before they do the search.
Okay.
So they know that scuffle all happened outside the car.
Those facts are fixed.
They are fixed. They're on the video. You can see it if you look at Exhibit 8.
Okay.
And they know that everything happened as far as he's actually arrested and charged with resisting arrest, obstruction,
and separation. So they've got a set of facts that could emerge into various crimes.
Correct. And those all happen outside the vehicle. Clearly, they're not going to find evidence of driving under suspension inside the vehicle.
Mr. Lancaster, the state has argued that you have waived your Fourth Amendment claims in that you failed to object when the evidence of the meth and the gun was received. Your objections were late and the evidence was already in. Do you want to address that?
I will. The state in their brief points to... I think it's Exhibit 36, which is a photograph of the backseat of the vehicle, which contains TV, video games, a bunch of duffel bags, and a backpack hanging from the backseat of the driver's side. The drugs were found inside that backpack is another bag. Inside that bag were found plastic bags that had the drugs in it. So the state's saying, because I didn't object to that picture that shows everything in the backseat, I waived my objection. That's like saying if I didn't object to the picture of the car, I've waived objection to anything inside the car. I don't think that's correct. I did make an objection once the backpack was opened, testimony about the bag inside of that. Objections were then made to the contents inside the second bag that preserved the objection as far as the methamphetamine. In regards to the gun, the state points to Exhibit 41, which is a picture of a handgun that's been pulled out or being taken out of a crevice between the two seats. I thought I made an objection at that time, but the record doesn't show that. Any other pictures of that gun, for example, through the testimony of Officer Grace, were objected to. The The actual physical gun itself was objected to as well.
Did you object to Weber's testimony that, about the gun being a Cobra 130, I think .380?
Correct. I objected.
But evidence to that gun had come in previously that there was a gun found.
That had come in previously that from the picture that was Exhibit 41.
So was there any testimony that an officer found that gun in the car?
There's testimony that Officer Grace found the gun. The first testimony about the gun in the picture came through Officer Oduno, a different officer. I will point out that at Grace's testimony, when he started testifying that the search was an investigative search looking for guns and other contraband, was inconsistent with his testimony at the motion to suppress. At that time, I did renew my objection and renew my motion to suppress based on his changed testimony that this was not an inventory search, this was an investigative search. And prior to that, with Grace's testimony, I objected to any mention or pictures of the gun, and it was after his testimony, my renewing of the motion, that I read that he, they tried to bring in the actual physical gun that I did object to. So that's, I guess, my explanation in regards to the objections and how they were preserved at the trial. If you have no other questions, I'd ask that the court grant our request to reverse this for a new trial based on the portions in my brief. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wiss, good morning.
Good morning. May I please the court? I'm the Assistant Attorney General here on behalf of the Appalachian State of Nebraska. All of Ortega's assignments of error pertain to the denial of his motion to suppress. The state's overarching response is twofold. First, this issue is not properly before this court. It has not been preserved because Ortega did not timely renew his motion to suppress at trial. Second, even if this issue is properly before this court, the motion to suppress is properly denied.
Well, could you waltz us through the waiver issue and what witnesses testified to what before
sure.
the objections were made?
Sure, Your Honor. the convictions in question here are felon possession of a firearm, possession of methamphetamine, and attempted assault on an officer. As far as the conviction for attempted assault on an officer, the state's very first witness, Officer Arduino, testified without objection about the stop of Ortega's vehicle and the subsequent struggle that ensued during which he was assaulted by Ortega. All this evidence came in prior to and without renewal of the motion to suppress. That evidence alone we would submit was sufficient to convict Mr. Ortega of that offense.
I'm talking about the seized items.
Right. I'm just walking through each offense here. For each conviction, okay. We would submit the evidence came in for each conviction without objection. And I'll move on to the other one, including the seized items. The next conviction for felon in possession of a firearm. State's very first witness, Officer Arduino, testified without objection about finding the gun in the crevice next to the driver's seat in the Impala. Then the state introduced a picture without objection during Officer Arduino's testimony showing that firearm. Ortega's counsel then cross-examined Officer Arduino, very first witness, about finding the gun and again showed a picture of the pistol. And the state also questioned its second witness, Officer Nelson, about finding the pistol in the crevice of the driver's seat in the Impala. All that evidence came in prior to and without a renewal. Motion to suppress, and that evidence alone we would submit is sufficient to convict Ortega, felon in possession of a firearm. And then as far as the conviction for possession of methamphetamine, the state introduced a picture of the backpack in which the meth was found during its very first witness, Officer Arduino. And then during its second witness, Officer Nelson, it induced testimony that meth was found in that backpack. This evidence, again, came in without objection, and we would submit that evidence alone is sufficient to Ortega possession of methamphetamine. So we would maintain that Mr. Ortega failed to properly renew his motion to suppress in this case, and this issue not properly have been preserved. Our second response regarding the merits is that if this court finds that the issue has been preserved or has been preserved to some extent or to some evidence, the motion to suppress was nonetheless properly denied. This court reaches the merits of the motion. There are two issues here. The lawfulness of the initial stop and the lawfulness of the subsequent search, we maintain that both were lawful. As far as the initial stop, we maintain that it was valid for two reasons. First, because the Impala was driving on the wrong side of the road, in violation of 60-6, 131. Second, because there was reasonable suspicion of criminal activity based on the citizen informant reports. As far as the subsequent search, we maintain it was valid under both the automobile exception and as a valid inventory search. And after listening to the prior discussion, it sounds like it could also be valid as a search incident to arrest. I wasn't sure on that issue, so I stayed away from it in brief. I hadn't thought of the angle of the gun being in the car and potentially being related to attempted assault on an officer.
Arizona Gantt was decided before this case, is that correct?
Yes.
The court didn't refer to a search incident to arrest or to the Gantt case?
No.
So what did it based it on an exception to the audible?
The district court relied on, the state below and the district court relied on the automobile exception and inventory search.
No, the automobile exception is what? Is that something different than search incident to arrest?
Yeah, I mean, the search incident to arrest, it's going to be that you've arrested someone for a crime and then the search is incident to that arrest. You believe that, well, the two grounds as a search incident to arrest that permits a search, at least of a vehicle, would be that you have officer safety concerns that allow you to go into that vehicle, the defendant has potential access to that vehicle, or second, that you're likely to find evidence related to the arrest. Whereas the automobile exception is just that you have probable cause to believe that a contraband or evidence of a crime will be found, not a particular crime or a particular evidence, just evidence of a crime or contraband, and that the vehicle is readily mobile. Those are the
reasons. Well, what was the probable cause under the automobile exception?
Under the automobile exception, I would submit there was quite a bit of evidence. Officers get our police receive two calls at 2:30 a.m. about a suspicious vehicle driving around the neighborhood. Officer Arduino responds. He sees the vehicle driving on completely on the wrong side of the road. When he gets there, upon making a traffic stop, he recognizes Ortega, who he had just recently learned with about an hour ago, had been involved in it, or was allegedly involved in a shooting just a few days earlier. Learned that Mr. Ortega is a gang member. He's known to carry guns, has a prior gun conviction, on probation for federal crime. As he approached the Impala and spoke with Mr. Ortega, he saw that Ortega was wearing gloves, despite the fact that it's not cold out. Electronics in the back seat could at least lead to the possibility of potential burglary theft. He's telling Ortega, wine stopped when he's under arrest for driving under suspension. Ortega's resisting arrest and refusing to get out. And then we have an all-out fight, an all-out brawl between Ortega and the officers. And during that fight, of course, Ortega's yelling, "Spanish, give me the gun, I'll use it." And then the other passenger gets out and approaches the officers, and fortunately a third officer arrives on the scene, in which case the other officer gets down on the ground and they find a gun on the sidewalk next to the car. I mean, I think in light of all that evidence, there were certainly grounds to believe that crime was being committed or had been committed or that contraband would be found in that vehicle. I mean, certainly, any officer here would believe that these individuals had something to hide. I mean, the average person who gets pulled over for driving under suspension doesn't brawl with the police and then make an attempt to shoot him. A probable cause here, I don't doubt that the vehicle was obviously readily mobile.
At that point?
Well, I mean, the vehicle itself, yeah, I mean, it still was, even though...
But what I mean is there's not citizens likely to flee at that point.
That's true, but that doesn't matter. I think the Supreme Court quite clearly explained that in Michigan v. Thomas, that even if the vehicle's been immobilized, it doesn't do away with the sort of inherent exigency of the fact that it's readily mobile. It doesn't do away with the viability of the automobile exception just because the vehicle is immobilized. So we would submit that if this issue is properly before the court, express was nonetheless properly denied. If there are no further questions, we ask you to affirm the judgment of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have time for rebuttal? There is no time for rebuttal. The next case of the day is Robertson versus Jacobs Cattle Company. Justice Wright is recused from this matter. Mr. Nelson, good morning to you.